come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? Here we are. Here we go. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8a. Let's do it again, all right? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8a. Good job. Do you hear him singing? There we go. Okay, and this is going to be our theme song, which Joy introduced, okay? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it again, all right? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. We're going to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're back. Yay, we actually came back. Look at how many of you guys came back. I'm so excited. Yeah. We're just excited for everything that God has planned today. First thing that we're going to say is what? This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. So we got that in our heart. We're going. We're running with that one. So ladies, if you are a note taker, turn to page 21 in your study book to take notes on today. And if you're watching online, lessons are available to download. Refugefamily.com/women's ministry. Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father. We are so blessed to be in your presence. We are so blessed, Lord, to hear from you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray for wisdom, and I pray for a voice. I pray, Father, that you would give me only your words, that I would not speak anything of myself. Lord, that we would grow, that we would mature, that we would be like the Daniel that we are reading about. We thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning, and we want to bless you and honor you in all ways that we can. And Lord, we just lift up, while we're praying before the study, Lord, we want to lift up the, there are three bills that are in California that need some attention. So if you would just make that reminder, I know one of them is AB 1400, and the other one is SB 866. Is it 866? Yeah. Okay, so you want to check those out. So, but wait a minute. Now I'm talking to you. Lord, remind us of it. Remind us that we are here with a purpose, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to pray about what you want us to do, and then we do it, just like you've told us all along, Lord, to walk in obedience. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, when we got together, we had we learned about the revelation of the sovereignty of God. That's the revelation of the sovereignty of God. That's what Daniel is all about. And it's also about, so there were the three things. It's also about, number two, the sinfulness and rebellion of the human race unfamiliar to us in every way today, of course, and it explores the reality of spiritual warfare. Have you noticed any additional spiritual warfare since you started this study? Has anybody else besides me noticed additional? I mean, we're going through it all the time, but there's just some additional that happens where the battle is in the mind. It's not all in our mind. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's where the battle is. It's spiritual warfare. It's spiritual in nature. It's not against people. It's against the things that are against the Lord. So being aware of that, we saw that prophecy begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation, and God tells us these things beforehand so that when they happen, we may believe. And that was John 14:29, if you didn't get that last week, and then John 16:4. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. That's talking about prophecy. We are learning that we can trust the word of the Lord. We can trust what he says to us. What God says to us, he will do. He promised to hear us. He promised that he would listen. He promised to do whatever is best for us. He promised that if we pray together, that he would hear us and that he would respond. And so we just need to be reminded of that. We also learned that Daniel was a man of purpose and prayer and a man of prophecy, which is right on the front of your book. So God bless you. And today, we're able to go verse by verse because there's only 20 verses in this chapter, which is very nice for me. I love teaching that way, but in the future, we'll probably not be able to do the verse by verse as we get along. And I'm excited to have you get into this book, and I know that you learned a whole lot more than I did, probably, by doing your homework. By doing your homework, and I know that you learned from the maps and from the things that are there were the maps, and there was that another list there. So, anything that's in there that's not for you to write down, it's in there, and it's given you lots of information, and you're all prepared for what God has for you in this. And I'm excited about this study, in case you didn't notice. We talked about he started his ministry at the age of 14. Daniel would have started his new ministry in a new land in Babylon at the age of 14. And Daniel would live out his life in Babylon. He would live his entire life in Babylon. And we'll see that he would be in Babylon, but not of Babylon. Just as we are to be in this world, but not of this of this world. Yeah. Whew. I'm happy I said it right the first time. So as we get into it, we begin with chapter 1 of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of Nebuchadnezzar's God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of Nebuchadnezzar's God. So here we have exactly what happens when we cease to follow the things of the Lord. Now, I hope you did a study on your own of the kings. That is a very interesting study. If you go back as far as Josiah was a good king, but like us and like every other country, they had the good king and the bad king and the good king and the bad king and the good king and the bad king and the bad king and the bad king. And that's kind of, have you found that there's a little similarity? I don't know. I think there might be. But so if you do that study on your own, so you start from Josiah, who was a good king, who set things in order, and he followed the ways of the Lord. And then he put into, on the throne, Josiah put Jehoahaz, his one of his sons, who was better at following the directions of the Lord than his other son that should have taken the throne at that time. However, during the time of Jehoahaz, Egypt came in and overtook them and dethroned Jehoahaz within 3 months of his time there, and gave the throne to Eliakim and changed his name to Jehoiakim. So that's how he got on the throne right here. Jehoiakim was not, he disregarded the laws of the Torah. He caused the people to be led astray. In Jeremiah 22:18, you will see the prophecy of Jehoiakim's death. In Jeremiah 29:10, Jeremiah prophesied that they would remain in Babylon these 23 years. Yeah, 70 years. It's the same thing, only different. In Jeremiah, just look for a moment, in Jeremiah 29:10, you're all familiar with Jeremiah 29:10, aren't you? Yeah, that's my verse. Oh, that's my verse. Let's look at it. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will go and you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, not a portion of your heart, with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away. Did you catch that? The place where I caused you to be carried away. God directed them into captivity. We all think, oh, these were bad guys, and they just snuck in there, and they... No, God has a plan, and he always has a plan, so we find him there. So learning a lot from the chart of the world empires is the other thing that I was trying to remember. What is happening here in this first part of Daniel was prophesied in Isaiah 39. So if you'll turn with me to Isaiah 39, it probably was in your homework, and I didn't pay any attention to it. And I just keep talking while I'm turning because my new Bible takes me so long to get to anything. And in 39, in Isaiah 39, it is the story of Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a good king. He was a loving king. He was an honest king. He was a fair king. But he had gotten sick, and the king of Babylon had sent him some nice things, some nice words. And so when the king of Babylon's son came to Hezekiah, Hezekiah's pride got the best of him. And so he showed the king of Babylon, he showed him everything. It says in verse 2 of 39, and Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, on all his armory, all that was found among his treasure. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And then Isaiah the prophet went to Hezekiah, and he said, what did you say to these men? Hezekiah said, what did you show to these men? And he said, oh, I showed them everything. I showed them everything. I'm so proud of everything. I showed them everything there. And what does Isaiah said? In verse 5, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. Why did he say it was good? Because Isaiah said, it won't happen during your time, it will happen during your son's time. And so Hezekiah said, that's good. At least then there will be peace and truth in my days. Yeah, thanks so much. And so, so this is a direct fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Make no mistake, Daniel is a book of judgment. It is a book of judgment. It was prophesied that this would happen if you don't follow after the ways of the Lord. You'll be carried away and you'll be brought into captivity. So it was all, he was already told that. And so then the king instructed Ashpenaz. By the way, Ashpenaz means, I love this, horse nose. You know how I love to look up the names. What is this connection? You know, names are very important. So we need to know why they named him that name. I don't know why they named him horse nose. But he was the master of his eunuchs to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking. Whenever there's a good looking man, there's trouble. I'm just saying, good looking men seem to have more trouble than not so good looking men. I'm just saying. So, and then it says, gifted in wisdom. When we have that kind of wisdom, it is a gift from the Holy Spirit. When we have the kind of wisdom, when we have the kind of knowledge that Daniel has in here, it is from the Lord. We are gifted with it. In all wisdom, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and we're going to talk about that name, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. We're also going to talk about that name as well. So they took the best of the best. They separated them from their families, taught them, indoctrinated them in the cultures of Babylon, seduced them, mixed them with the high society, good jobs, good pay, took care of them. They had nice clothes. They had nice things. They were just seduced right into the things of Babylon. And they changed their names to erase any connection with their former lives or their culture or their gods or their people. They attempted to assimilate them, brainwash them, seduce them, so they would become Babylonians. They gave them everything the world had to offer. Everything the world had to offer. Does that sound a little bit like what we're going through today? I've always looked at them as being captured and thinking, oh, they were in captivity, and so that meant this and that meant. No, they seduced them. They brought them to Babylon, and then they seduced them. Remember last week when we talked about Eve and being in the garden, and the enemy seduced her, deceived her to do what God had told her not to do. But just like in the garden, God had a plan in Babylon. God would keep his remnant of people. That was the ministry that Daniel and these boys had, was to preserve a remnant of God's people. They had a ministry in Babylon, and they were fulfilling that ministry. Daniel is a book that records the judgment of God upon his people for the purpose of disciplining them and drawing them back to himself. If we are not disciplined, we do not belong to the family. We must be disciplined in the same way that we discipline our own children, or we were disciplined as children. We need to have that directing back into getting in our the way that we should go. The book of Judges says that they did what was right in their own eyes. And as those kings, one after another, was doing whatever they wanted to do, when Jehoiakim was appointed, he was appointed by an unbeliever, so to speak, one who didn't believe in the God of the Jews, didn't believe in the God that Judah worshipped. And here we have that happening again. God is still in control. We are all right where we're supposed to be. Right now, we're living exactly where we're supposed to be living. But I don't like my house. Or I don't like the street I live on. Or I don't like Huntington Beach or our Garden Grove or wherever you live at. Well, I don't like being there. God has you exactly where you're at right now, physically. The question is, does he have you where you're at like Daniel had? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Do we have that kind of heart? Do we have a heart of Daniel? God is still in control. So here we have the story of four men, and I was thinking about this morning. We have no idea, unless somebody else found out, how many men they brought. It seems like they brought a whole bunch of the nobles, of the good-looking blah, 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 all of those ones that they brought. Four is what we have a story of. Four who continued to walk with God in a foreign land. Four out of that whole group. Brings you to a serious thought of it. And they were brought from Judah, and the story of their ministry of preservation of God's people, of God's remnant. And these names that they were given, because Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You will note that as you were studying, did any of you find out that there was no such person as Belteshazzar? So people have said in the past that they just gave him crazy names that didn't mean anything. Actually, the name that was given to him was Belshazzar. Daniel put the T in it. Here's why. Belshazzar had to do with the worship of another god. And Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile, even in speaking the name of another god. So maybe he used his accent as an excuse for not saying the name correctly. Because they couldn't even call each other by their names, by their Babylonian names, without defiling themselves. So he changed his name to Belshazzar, and the other one, Abednego. Abednego was originally Abednego, and he changed it to Nego. There is a god, Nebo. There is no god, Nego. So they were able to call each other by the names that they were given there in Babylon without defiling themselves, simply by changing a letter. So Daniel was obviously directed by the Lord because he had purposed in his heart. He had already purposed in his heart. They were 900 miles from home. 900 miles from home. The Chaldeans that are mentioned here were the upper aristocracy of the Babylonians. They were the well-educated, they were the upper class, they were social elite, they would have ridiculed the ways of the Jews, just like today. They would have tried to deconstruct their faith. That little word that we were talking about last week. We're having a conversation Bill and I are having a conversation with someone who was a pastor and is no longer walking with the Lord. And he wants everybody else not to walk with the Lord. He has deconstructed his faith. And he is proud of the fact that one of his children has also deconstructed her faith. I wouldn't want to be him when he stands before the Lord. That's what happens when we don't purpose in our heart to not defile ourselves, or our pride gets in the way, or somebody hurt my feelings, somebody said something to me and they hurt me deeply, and so I don't want anything to do with God because that person did what I think was so mean to me. So I'm not going to walk with God because that makes sense to me. Not at all. Not at all. So when you pray, please pray for that person that I just mentioned. You can give them any name you want. I don't care. But in what the deconstruction of the faith is intellectual seduction is one of the schemes of the enemy. Intellectual seduction. It all has to do with our mind. In Ephesians 6, Paul calls it the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? In heavenly places. So put on the whole armor of God. We talked last week, I had somebody come to me afterwards and said, I sleep with my whole armor on. My whole armor on. And the thought of sleeping with your whole armor on when you're thinking about that breastplate of righteousness and your shield and your sword and your shoes and everything, and you are laying in your bed, that doesn't sound like, but that is all here. Put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation. And so put on the whole armor of God. How often do we see kids who love the Lord and they go off to college and they come back, what? Devoid of faith. Why? Because they were so challenged and they hadn't purposed in their heart to be able to stand up against things. So going to Babylon was like going to the big city with the lights and all of the things to get their attention away from the God that they knew. All the things to get attention away from the life that they knew. Do a little study on Babylon, by the way. On your own, do a little study of Babylon and see what a beautiful place it was, the Hanging Gardens in Babylon and all of the lights and all of the things that were going on there. And it was a beautiful place. Devoid of God. Your surroundings can be fantastic, but if you don't have a commitment to the Lord, it's all for show. 2 Corinthians 10:4 again states that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The nature of spiritual warfare all refers to the mind, to the intellect. They were pressured to compromise. I've been feeling that lately. Anybody else been feeling that lately? I have felt pressured to compromise. That's what the spiritual warfare is. That's the extra spiritual warfare that's been going on. That pressure to compromise just a little bit. Just a little bit. We can't afford that, ladies. We cannot afford to compromise even a little bit. Because when we compromise that, we'll compromise the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And before we know it, we can't figure out how we got in the place that we were at. So in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And it goes on to say that he would not defile himself with the food or with the wine or any of that. He purposed in his heart. The word heart here is he purposed in his heart, that inner part of his being. Daniel purposed in his heart that during this time of affliction, he would not defile himself. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So here the word heart means undivided heart, and it means free from rocks. Free from rocks. Don't allow your heart to have those little hard places. A rock of unforgiveness, a rock of bitterness, a rock of, you name whatever thing that you have problems with yourself. I don't have problems with all those. I just thought I'd let you know go ahead, but just saying. To be free from the hard places, allow the Lord to touch those hard places in your heart. Daniel was a man of purpose. The afflictions would end. Daniel knew that the afflictions would end. Even though Daniel would live the rest of his life out in Babylon, he was in Babylon, but not of Babylon, like we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We live in this world, but we are not of the world. We should stand out. We should look different from everyone else. Like I said, afflictions pass, and God preserves a remnant through them. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, light affliction is for a moment. The purpose is eternal. There is always a purpose in our afflictions. There's a purpose. Whenever I have gotten sick, whenever I have broken something, whenever I have in a situation where I just, it's an affliction, I always ask God, what am I supposed to be learning from this? That's my first thing. Granted, the first thing I probably say is, Lord, will you heal me? But when, as time goes on, Lord, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Because afflictions are not for nothing. There is a discipline that goes on in our lives. Daniel served as prophet for 69 years. He was welcomed into the king's house, grew up in Babylon, was promoted through the years, public life in a heathen nation. You remember that he was in a governmental position, and we said you can be a Christian and be in a governmental position. And if God calls you to go there, go there. Do something about it. Do what God calls you to do. Nothing bad is said about Daniel. Now, of course, he's writing it, so he might not bring it up. But sure, he had faults. I'm sure he had faults. He was human. But there's nothing bad that we have recorded anywhere in the Bible about Daniel. And he's not in the Hall of Faith. Why not? Why is his name not mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11? It is kind of mentioned in what the part that says, stopped the mouths of lions. So he is, in fact, in there as well. Why not have the food? Why not have the food that the king was offering? Because there was a very good chance that it was unclean. The Babylonians would eat pork. The Babylonians would eat food that or meat that was offered to the to idols. There was no prohibition on the wine. However, there was a prohibition on strong drink and to not get drunk. And so rather than take a chance, I think that Daniel just said, never mind, we don't want that. I don't want to set myself up. And so they refused it, but they did it in a very kind way. So in verse, that's what they were offered. Verse 9, now God brought. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. God did this. God took them to Babylon. God gave them favor with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." And so Daniel, to the steward, whom was the chief of the eunuchs and over all of those guys, in verse 12, he said, "Please test your servants for 10 days. I want you to notice that number 10. Because over in the end, it's going to say that they were 10 times better than everybody else. So for 10 days, just test us for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in the matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh. That does not encourage me. Then all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And so then in verse 16, we'll go on to that in a minute. So what did Daniel say to him? He said, "No, I'm not touching that stuff. No. Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." And he said, God gave him favor, first of all. And then he spoke gently and said, "Okay, here's the deal. Let's just try this. And you can look at us for 10 days. After 10 days, if we haven't, then he gave some indication that we'll see what happens from there. But I know that my God will take us through," is what Daniel was thinking. "I know my God. I know the God that I serve." And then they appeared fatter in the flesh. I think they just looked really radiant. That's what I think. I think they just looked good. I don't think they were fatter. but because I wrote down here, wonder what would happen if we tried this for 10 days and invested a bit more time with the Lord. It would certainly change our countenance. But I don't like the idea that I'm going to be fatter. I'm fat enough. So I don't want to be fatter. But I'm going to give it a try and see what God will do through it. So anybody who wants to join me with that, it really doesn't make sense that they would look fatter. It really doesn't make sense that they would look better. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And in verse 16, when they saw that it was all good, thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Are they talking about all the rest of the guys too? I don't know. Because I'm thinking, if they're talking about all the rest of the guys too, they were not popular. Daniel would not be popular if all of those things were taken away from him. In verse 17, "As for these four young men, God gave them." God gave them a gift of knowledge. God gave them skill in all literature. God gave them a gift of wisdom. And Daniel had a gift of understanding in all visions and dreams. In all visions and dreams. So he set Daniel up. God gave them the gifts that they needed. He gave them all that they needed. Daniel would be actually called. In fact, because of these visions and dreams, Daniel would also be referred to as a magi, as the others were, of those who had talked about the dreams, who had their set things of, well, if you dream this, it means this. If you dream this, it means this. But Daniel had from God what those dreams meant, not just this or that. So he was actually called a magi. And so what happens after that? Now, at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, verse 20, and in all matters, and circle, I always circle all the alls, and in all matters of his of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, not the musicians, and astrologers who were in all of the realm. And thus Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus. So at the end of 3 years, they're brought in by horse face, horse nose, Ashpenaz. So they, for 3 years, they've been in submission to and obeying the directions of Ashpenaz. For 3 years, they have been obeying and following the directions of the person that was set over them. How could they have done that? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, that power being the gifts from God, and God gets the glory, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So they come in before the king in verse 19. Among them all, none was found like these four boys, who God had called into the ministry of preserving a remnant of God's people. Their ministry was preserving a remnant of God's people. In all manners of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. God always honors obedience. God always honors obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. These men are preserving God's people in a foreign land. We are doing our ministry in preserving God's people in a foreign land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. How about you? And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have gone before us, that you've put in our hearts, Lord, the things that you want to say to us, and Lord, that you will be glorified. Father, we want to walk in obedience to those that you have put over us. Lord, we want to honor your direction. Father, we will go where you send us. We know that we won't go alone. If you don't go, I don't want to go. If you don't go before me, Lord, I don't want to go to that place. And so, Father, we put our lives in your hands. We put the people of our state in your hands as well, Lord, in our country. And we lift them to you continually, Lord, that they would come to a place of repentance, that all would come to a place of repentance, Lord. I know there are going to be people who say no, but my prayer is that all would come to repentance, because that's your heart, Lord. And you said that if we pray according to your will, that you hear us and that you will respond. And so, Lord, we put them before you and we ask, Lord God, for a revival. A revival for your kingdom's sake, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace toward us. And as the ladies get into their small groups, I pray, Father, that you would just continue to minister, continue to strengthen them, encourage them, Lord. And thank you for what you've done amongst us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up.